You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. For thousands of years, Atlantic salmon, known as the king of fish, ran almost every river northeast of the Hudson. And for decades, the first fish caught in Maine's Penobscot River was actually presented to the President of the United States in a first fish ritual. Well, overfishing, dams, and pollution took their toll, and in 1948, 70 years ago, the commercial fishery for Atlantic salmon closed. For most of us, the closest we've ever gotten to an Atlantic salmon is the farm-raised variety in the fish market. But this year, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is celebrating the International Year of the Salmon, and the New England Aquarium is marking the occasion with a public lecture by Catherine Schmidt. She's author of The President's Salmon, Restoring the King of Fish in Its Home Waters, and also Madonna Soctoma. She's a former Passamaquoddy tribal representative with the Maine State Legislature and St. Croix International Waterway Commissioner. To be clear, that's the St. Croix River in Maine and New Brunswick, not the Caribbean island. We're glad to be joined by both of you. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Heather.
Catherine, let's start with you. You called your book The President's Salmon. Why?
Well, that was a play on the annual tradition of salmon anglers on Maine's Penobscot River giving the first fish to the President of the United States.
And where did that tradition come from?
It started in 1912 with an angler named Carl Anderson, who decided that he would give his fish, which was the first fish caught on opening day, April 1st, to the President of the United States. It reflects first fish traditions that can be found around the world, and it was a way to show sort of the city of Bangor's honor and respect for the president and maybe bring some attention to the city of Bangor and the Penobscot River.
I think we tend at this point to think about cod as being the fish that brought Europeans to New England's shores and one of the most important fish in early colonial history. How important was the salmon?
Well, salmon were very important from a food perspective because they were caught not at sea, but they were caught in rivers as they were migrating to their spawning grounds that were hundreds of miles up New England's rivers. And so they could be easily caught from somebody's home or at falls and rapids close to where people lived. And European settlers also recognized salmon because they have a very similar species of Atlantic salmon in Europe. And so they quickly recognized salmon and were familiar with how to catch them and cook them and very quickly began catching them to eat. Salmon are also highly nutritious and are highly valued as a food fish.
Madonna, take us back even further, thousands of years of history of Native American tribes taking advantage of salmon. Salmon is part of legends and myths and Native American culture. And I think we tend to think of that as being part of Pacific Northwest culture, but obviously here in New England as well. What was the cultural significance of salmon?
The people, the Beskidmukati tribe is connected to the salmon and all the water creatures for survival. Culturally, it is connected to who we are. And the loss of fish in the river would compromise the identity of the Beskidmukati people. For over 12,000 years, fish, herring, and other fish have migrated from the sea by the millions to spawn in the upper headwaters of the what is known as the St. Croix River watershed. And that was just full of fish in pre-colonial days. Without the fish, the Beskidmukati people would not have survived. Water and fish, Zamagwan, Naganamas, are deeply embedded in our history, culture, traditional beliefs and legends, our spirituality.
I'm talking with Madonna Soctoma of the Passamaquoddy tribe in Maine, which obviously I am butchering. I apologize for not being able to pronounce that more appropriately. Can you just say that for us again, Madonna?
When you read any history, it's called Passamaquoddy.
Right.
But originally, it was Beskidmukati, named after the Pollock.
Oh, So actually named after another fish.
Yes. Basketball God is the Pollock people.
We're also talking with Catherine Schmidt. She's author of The President Salmon, Restoring the King of Fish and Its Home Waters. I mean, we're talking about the Atlantic salmon and how important it has been. But at this point, I think it's unfamiliar to most of us. And it's really different, actually, from the Pacific salmon. Can you just give us a sense of what they even look like?
Salmon are very large. They from anywhere from 10, 11 up to 25 pounds. They're pretty heavy fish. When they come in from the ocean, they're really, really bright silver. They might have a splattering of black spots along their sides. They're very tapered at the head and the tail, and that's for swimming. So they're really muscular fish because they have to make this long migration from Greenland all the way into the Gulf of Maine and up rivers. And so they're designed for that swimming and for leaping ability. And then they actually change color as they migrate upriver and begin spawning. They'll take on some more reddish coloring and patterns and develop the sort of elongated lower jaw that we think of when we picture salmon.
And the adults in this case, unlike the Pacific salmon who come back, spawn, and die, the Atlantic salmon adults can come back multiple times to spawn, right?
That's right. So which makes them even, I think, more amazing, because not only do they travel thousands of miles and come up rivers and stop eating and devote all of their energy and biological material to reproduction, but then most of them don't die, but they recover, they regrow some of their organs, and they go back to do the journey all over again, sometimes multiple times.
So, as we said, the commercial fishery for this species was shut down 70 years ago, 1948. But the numbers have continued to decline. They haven't bounced back. Do we know why?
Well, they did come back from that low. So the middle of the 20th century was the low point for Atlantic salmon in New England, and was a lower point than we're at today. And that was the result of, to some degree, overfishing, but more the result of dam construction, which blocks them from migrating to their spawning grounds, as well as pollution. So water pollution reached its peak in the 40s, 50s, 1960s, and that was depleting oxygen in the rivers. And so even the salmon that could make the journey and find their way upstream, the conditions were just not very hospitable for them.
You have served, Madonna, as a tribal representative with the Maine State Legislature, as a St. Croix River Water Commissioner. Do you feel like tribal voices are being heard in discussions about how to restore these waterways and how to restore the Atlantic salmon?
I think the more people realize the need for food over the dollar has come to light, and there are several agencies, state and federal, working with the tribal people and vice versa in order to provide clear water and try to have passage for the salmon so we'll have good water and good fish.
Heather, throughout the region, I think tribes are really leading the way in terms of restoring aquatic habitat for salmon and other sea-run fish. And so their voices are some of the strongest when you look sort of on the ground and look at some of the activities to remove dams and restore fish passage.
Catherine, your book is called The President Salmon, Restoring the King of Fish and Its Home Waters, not, the decline of the King of Fish. Do you think that is the path that we are on, that we are restoring these waterways and salmon populations?
Absolutely. We have been restoring salmon ever since we first started noticing declines in salmon populations. It's certainly not a new thing. I mentioned earlier how salmon were actually at their lowest point in the mid-20th century, and they have been recovering since then. In the 90s and 2000s, we definitely saw numbers drop again, and they are now on the endangered species list, but they're still here. We still have wild salmon in rivers in the Northeast United States. And a lot of that restoration work focuses on making sure that fish can get to the habitat they need. They're not going to recover if they can't reach the really cool and shady and forested headwater streams that they need for spawning and reproducing. And so fixing broken culverts and removing old logging dams or mill dams that aren't used for anything anymore is part of the effort here. If we make rivers a good home for salmon again, it helps all the other species that live in watersheds.
Catherine Schmidt is author of The President's Salmon, Restoring the King of Fish and Its Home Waters. Madonna Soctoma is the former Passamaquoddy tribal representative with the Maine State Legislature and St. Croix International Waterway Commissioner. They'll both be speaking at the New England Aquarium on Tuesday, October 30th. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you, Heather.
Well, Ewan, thank you.
Coming up, it's Wikipedia's efforts to be more diverse and inclusive. Stay with us.